child of God who has faith in Jesus, that person is going to work with all their heart because they love their master so much.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant will be bringing the second and concluding part of his message begun last week concerning one of the unlikeliest heroes of the faith, Rahab, the Gentile prostitute. Last week, Pastor Grant laid the groundwork in the story of how it was that this lady played a big part in the victory at Jericho because of her newfound faith and confidence in the God of Israel. But the story only gets better. Turn with us again to the book of Joshua and chapter 2 and listen as Pastor Grant picks up his message entitled, From Ordinary to Extraordinary. Here again is Pastor Grant.
And Rahab said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us. Oh my goodness. Oh, you know, Moses had sent out some spies 40 years earlier. And you remember those spies, they didn't have confident faith in God. They said, oh no, we won't be. 10 of them said, we can't do it. Here is this pagan. And this pagan is saying, I know that the Lord has given you the land. Put this in your notes. Because of her faith, Rahab. She was new in the faith, but she was confident in God's ability. She was new in the faith, but she was confident in God's ability. Are you confident God can do it? You know, when I was a teenager, my faith was bolstered by people who had confident faith. And people like David Livingston and Hudson Taylor and Judson, all these people. Hey, sometimes good to read some of these great stories about heroes of the faith, people who have gone on before and gave everything because they were so confident in God. People who God used to do extraordinary things. But today God is seeking a new generation. Young people, he's looking for a new generation. The Hudson Taylors and some are gone on. And today, listen good to me. Listen, young people, everybody in this room, listen good. God is looking for a new generation of individuals who will have such confident faith in God that they will be willing to say, God, use me. Here is my life. Take it and use it and do some marvelous, dramatic things through my life. And the God who used these incredible people of the past, he's able to do the same extraordinary thing through you. Listen, it's not by our might or by our power. It's by God's Spirit. And I hope this morning there's some young person, or perhaps you're not that young, but somebody who the Spirit of God would work in your heart to the extent that you might say to God, God, I am available to you. She had confident faith, but she also had courageous faith. Look with me, verse 2, and it was told the king, behold, men have come from the children of Israel to search out her country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I don't know. Pursue them quickly. You may overtake them. But she had brought them to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. She was lying. You know, I've been in Bible studies where the focus was only on Rahab's lies. But if we do that, we'll miss the main point of the story. The main point of the story is this. Because of her faith, write this down. Because of her faith, Rahab was willing to risk everything. Now, please don't leave here and say that Brother Brian told us it's okay to lie. But let's remember, Rahab had not even met a believer. Rahab was totally untaught. Rahab was brand new in the faith. She didn't know all the ins and outs. But listen, Rahab, the bottom line, Rahab was willing to risk everything. Rahab would soon find out that God didn't need her help. You understand what I'm saying? He didn't need her to lie to help God out. And listen, some of us have been saved a long time, and some of us still haven't learned this. Because every time you find yourself, I'm not talking about you now, because I know you would never do this. But do you know that there's some people, some Christians, who if they get themselves in a jam, and a lie will help them out. Do you know what they do? They tell the lie. Yeah, after all, Jesus understands. God understands. But does he? Listen, God does not need you or I, you or me to lie. He can take care of his own business without your lying for him. Amen? And he can take care of your business without your lying for him. So my issue here, I'm not trying to say that Rahab's lie was not a problem, but I want us to focus on what God wants us to focus on. And what he's focusing on is that because of her faith, Rahab was willing to risk everything. How much are you willing to risk for God? Some evangelicals have a totally incorrect understanding of what faith is. You see, sometimes we, and if we're not careful, we who are evangelists and are so anxious to say, receive Jesus by faith, pray and receive him. Some people end up walking out believing that all you need to do is to say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. And after I have said that, I can sit on the and wait for the heaven-bound train. I don't need to do a living thing. Just sit and wait. But that is not what faith is. And in the book of James, God is actually going to bring back the story of Rachel to help us understand what real faith looks like. It's interesting that she is one of the two that he brings to the fore to help us understand what faith looks like. So hold your Bible in the book of Joshua and turn with me, if you don't mind, to the book of James chapter 2. The book of James, New Testament, towards the back, Hebrews and then James chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse 20 just for the sake of the context here. James chapter 2. And verse number 20, the question is asked, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works was faith, faith was made perfect. And the scripture said, the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Listen, put this in your notes. James says, Rahab was considered righteous for what she did. Her courageous action to protect the spies was the outworking of her faith in the God of Israel. It's because of her faith that made her do what she did. Real faith works. I can hear somebody on the bench, and I can hear you, and you're saying, but Pastor, I think you're gone off key now, because I heard you preach on Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, it is the gift of God. Well, by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Pastor, you just said it's not of works, and now you're saying it's works. Make up your mind. Oh, but Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9 did say that, but verse 10 said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God pre-planned for you to do, that you might walk in them. Listen, God has saved us by his grace. But saving faith works. You got that? Let me put it another way. Let's dig in. You see, there is no conflict between what James is saying and what Paul is saying. Put this in your notes. Paul's focus was on how to become a believer. James's focus was on how to behave like a believer. Paul's focus was on the root of salvation. How do I get saved? I can only get saved by God's grace through the exercise of my faith. But James' focus was on the fruit of salvation. How do I show I'm saved? I show I'm saved, and I am sure I'm saved because I have a faith that produces good works. If you have a faith that doesn't produce any change, you might need to go back and check and make sure you are in the faith, because real faith works. Real faith produces change. It produces works that bring honor and glory to God. A person who is truly saved is not a person who will say, leave me alone, I'm waiting for Jesus, he saved me, I'm waiting for the rapture, and I am doing nothing until it comes. No! The child of God who has faith in Jesus, that person is going to work with all their heart because they love their master so much. And listen, this young lady, Rahab, she was willing to risk everything she had because of her faith. The Message Bible puts it this way. The very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse. And if you separate faith and works, you get the same thing, a corpse. I'm so glad that my brothers and I were front seat witnesses to our dad's courageous faith. You know, Dad, you've heard that. He was involved in starting a church in Trenchtown, Jamaica. At that time, Trenchtown was regarded as perhaps one of the most or the most violent parts of the country. And many nights he never made it home, because sometimes when he was ready to come home, there were such incredible gun battles in the streets that he had to just park his car in the churchyard and hunker down till morning. Many nights he never came. There were no phones. We didn't know what had happened. But by God's grace, God protected him. But what a legacy he has left. And because of his courageous faith, so many there, in fact, his own boys, he only had boys, were touched by his courageous faith. And because of his courageous faith, this simple man made an extraordinary impact for God. Do you want to make an impact for God?
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Young person, I challenge you this morning. It's time to stop just being happy you are saved. It's time for a passion and a burden, a fire, a holy fire to burn within you that makes you say, God, I just don't want to sit on the bench. God, I want you to do some extraordinary things in my life. And my friend, doesn't matter who you are, if he can do it for Rahab, he can do it for you. Somebody say amen. But finally, Rahab not only had confident faith, she not only had courageous faith, she had concerned faith. And so we see here in Joshua chapter 2, verse number 12, we're back to Joshua chapter 2, verse number 12, we see her saying, she said, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord. She's talking to the two spies. Since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house. And give me a true token. Spare my father, my brother, my mother, my brother, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And verse 17, so the two men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's house to your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. Rahab did not want anyone in her family left behind. Are you still with me this morning? Because I believe God is saying something to us. I suspect that sometimes, if we're not careful, we are so settled that some of us are not as burdened as we used to be about the fact that some of our family members are not saved. And this morning, God is saying to all of us, do everything you can to make sure none of your family is left behind. So he said to Rahab, get everybody in the house and tie this scarlet, make sure, mark the house with scarlet. Does that remind you of anything else? Does it remind you of the Passover? Anybody in this house where there is blood, the red, I'll pass over. And here we go again. Anybody is in the house with this red, safe. Aren't you glad the blood still works? Aren't you glad the blood still saves? And I'm so glad this morning, hallelujah, that we can preach a message that has to say that no matter what you have done, the blood of Jesus can cleanse you. And that once you receive the work that Jesus accomplished on the cross and you invite Jesus to come into your heart and into your life, I am so glad that immediately you become a part of the household of faith. Amen. And I tell you, anybody who is in the household of faith, when the judgment of God falls, that person, those persons are going to be perfectly safe. And my friend, one of the reasons we're calling this special all-day meeting of prayer on October the 5th, I wonder if you realize that part of it is because we don't want anybody left behind. We don't want anybody in your family left behind, amen? And I'm asking you, the elders are asking you, the Lord is asking every one of us. Listen, your members might, your family might be saved and in the household of faith by God's grace. I'm so glad that my boys and my daughter are in the household of faith. But I'm concerned about yours, and I want to come and join with you as together we beseech God to touch your children and your grandchildren and bring them to Jesus so that they'll be covered by the blood. Will you be here? Let us not leave one person behind. She had concerned faith. She didn't want anyone of her family left behind. She begged and beseeched, and would to God that beginning, even before the prayer meeting, you'd go home, we would go home and get on our knees and start saying to the Almighty God, God, do something in my family. God, I don't want to leave any of them behind. Won't you save them by your grace? And hallelujah, God, the God is going to hear us as we cry to him. She begged God, and God heard. And God did something, and every single one of her family members were saved. You can read it in Joshua chapter 6. What an amazing situation that must have been. When Rahab comes out, everybody else in town is dead. Can you imagine? The only person saved. Her family. Oh my, I tell you, we don't only want to reach your family. We're going to be praying for your neighbors and my neighbors. We're going to be praying for our friends. We're going to be praying for revival. I hope you will join us. Let me close with a story about the African Impala. You know, the African Impala is a member of the antelope family. And Impala, when he's fully grown, grows to about 2.5 feet. He's 100 to 150 pounds in weight. But what is spectacular about an Impala? His ability to jump. Although he's only 2.5 feet high, he can jump 10 feet. 10 feet high, 30 feet. Can you imagine? This is 2.5. But here's the thing that is even more amazing. He can jump 10 foot high, but you can cage him in a 3-foot wall. Guess why? You want to know? He said, tell us. He will never jump if he can't see where his foot is going to land. Can you imagine? He is caged in. He's right here, and the wall is right here. He can jump all the way up here. But he's caged in because he wants to see what's going to happen. He said, Pastor, so what? I've met so many young people, so many older people, Christians, caged in by fear. I can't trust God because I'm not sure where my foot is going to land. If God will tell me the whole story, I'll trust him. But as long as he don't tell me the whole story, I'm going to play it safe. And yet today God is saying to somebody, it's time to jump. It's time to jump. It's time to have courageous faith. It's time to have confident faith. It's time to have concerned faith. It's time to jump. It's time to trust me. It's time to see what I will do. Listen, if you jump, I will move you from ordinary to extraordinary. Are you going to jump? Are you going to say, God, you can have me?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.